John chapter 4. I like sports and all, and my Tar Heels pulled it out yesterday. I know that doesn't matter to most people in here, but Brother Glaspie is a big Duke fan. They're rivals, and so he bless his heart, his team lost twice to my Tar Heels, and so he's really down in the dumps today. So if you see him, give him a cookie or a dollar, those kind of things. Of course, he's like, we're going to win the whole NCAA championship, and I'm like, okay. But I don't care because we beat you twice, and so we are having a little fun there. But it is interesting. So if you like sports, it's March Madness. It's a fun time of the year, and we'll go from there. When I came here, I didn't realize how much of a football town it was. I did figure it out pretty quickly, but my Tar Heels made it the final game 2 years in a row. They won the second time, and hardly anybody cared. The guy at the bank was a big Tar Heel fan, and he cared. But everybody else, you know, when we lost, I thought people would call me or text me and say, "Preacher, we feel bad for you." And they're like, "It ain't football." And so when we won, same kind of thing. I was tempted to invite a total stranger at the bank to come over to the house. "Hey, just come over. We'll have some fun." Because nobody, but thankfully, with Rick Barnes and the wonderful job he's done there turning the UT program, there are more people who care about basketball now. So we can all commiserate and have a good time, and hopefully everybody will have somebody in the Final Four. That'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? I'd be glad to have some blue in the Final Four, and I'd sure love to see some orange in the Final Four. Say, are you a big UT basketball fan? I've become one, but I'm more than that because Barnes got a front page story about 4 weeks ago where he said the gospel and about Christ over and over, and even deleting one of his coaches to Christ. Now that's the kind of guy I want coaching a basketball team, amen, and having any influence. So we're glad there. So it's fun time and all, and I say that just to say it. John chapter four. We're back in our text here, and we're talking about finding our one. We're talking about what was Jesus' model for these kind of things. We really wanting to help ourselves, really wanting to understand something. I gave you a little card last week. We put them back in the program today, and Miss Cassie helped us get all this together this morning. I hope you keep that. I hope you keep that in your Bible, put it in your tablet. If you've got a case for your phone that flips over, I hope you keep it there. I hope you keep this front and center because I think this is so important. I want to encourage you, invite your one. What do you mean? I want you to find your one, invite your one, and pray for your one. One of the things we're doing on Wednesday night, our midweek service, is we're inviting you to come and to pray for people that you know that you don't think know Christ or don't think that they're right with God. Again, God's the ultimate judge. We're not passing any kind of judgment there. We're just simply saying, man, I'm concerned about them, and I want to help them get to Christ. I want to see, have a part in their life for them to come to Jesus. And so we look here in John chapter 4, and we're looking at an interesting story. We're looking at a real life event. John 3, it's Nicodemus. He's got it all together. He's got some wealth. He has got education and learning. And he comes to Jesus by night because he's a little scared. He's a little skittish. Anybody ever been a little scared, a little skittish about doing something that was spiritual? Anybody besides me? And you don't want people to think the wrong thing of you. You don't want people to make fun of you. Anybody? Maybe a few of you nodding at me. So he comes by night, and here's this woman, and she doesn't come to Jesus at all. She's minding her own business, trying to avoid the other ladies. She doesn't come at dusk. She comes at midday. She doesn't come in a group. She comes by herself. And she is a Samaritan. We said last week this was as about a racial as it gets in respectability circles, respectability with the Jews. These Samaritans had intermarried with the Assyrians, with Gentiles, and these Jews had intermarried with these Gentiles. They produced what they considered half breeds. They were completely antagonistic toward them. They would go all the way around what should be a straight shot. And so Jesus says, verse number 3, he says he left Judea and departed Galilee, verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. He on purpose went to this woman, and he went to this woman because he wanted to find her. This was his one this day. And he wanted to meet this woman who was, by all stretches and circumstances, was not the kind of person that a rabbi or that the Son of God need to be meeting. So give me my notes there, guy. Right. And so I want to rehearse a little bit with you, and I want to help you. And if you're looking at the app there, I think you'll see this. I want to remind you again, our theme this month, our lives really should be about finding people that Jesus loves and giving them the gospel. I don't think that's all of our life, but I think that should be a lot of our life. If not the main theme of our lives should be about finding the people that Jesus loves and giving them the gospel. And let me ask you, if you're a Christ follower here this morning, somebody did that to you. Might have been a Sunday school teacher, might have been a pastor, might have been a parent, step-parent, grandparent, could have been a friend, could have been a neighbor, could have been somebody that annoyed you to death, but loved you to Christ. I've just remarked, we just celebrated 2 years of Brother Glassby being here on staff, and we tease him pretty good bit because he's very teasable. Bless his heart. And we have a little time, but I never forget, he'd been here a couple of weeks, maybe not that long, and we're up off of Oak Ridge Highway, and we're showing him around and all, and all of a sudden he sees Brittany, Brittany sees him, and she starts hollering. I'm thinking, oh no, Brandon's done offended somebody, or you know, they found out he's a Duke, you know, pulls for Duke, and they don't like him. I'm teasing, and something like basketball, and come to find out, when she lived in Virginia, and we went to the camp that Brandon worked at for several years. They knew each other, and God just working this out, and they're. People in Brittany's life brought her to this point in her life, and Brandon had a little part in that. And our lives should be about that. You can have your life about all kinds of things, and it doesn't matter, but when you put your life into someone else's and introduce them to Jesus Christ, man, you are following the very example of our Lord, and you are changing somebody's life. How many of you think that's a good idea? Say amen. Amen. We suggested to you last week who this woman was. We said just quickly, she was a social outcast. She was just a social outcast. I don't want to belay this point, but she just was absolutely, positively a social outcast. Spurned by her own people, spurned by the traditional Jews because of her lineage. And again, this is not necessarily right, but just was. She was just an outcast. She's an outcast. That's why she's there at lunch. That's why she is immoral. We're gonna work our way through that. She was not right with God. She was not right with God. Let me help you. Let me help you a little bit. We got other people's sins. And they're really bad. But our sins, we're just working on them. Anybody ever catch that before? You know, that's really bad what they're doing. But what I'm doing, it's still pretty bad, but it's not as bad because I'm just working on it. I just got problems. Everybody else got sins. I got problems. Everybody else got all these things, but I just got some things that I need to work on. And all the, but this woman was just absolutely positively immoral. This woman was outcast. She was immoral. This woman was ignorant. She didn't have a clue who she was talking to. She didn't have a clue who she was talking to. She's absolutely positively ignorant. People chuckle, you know, for 4 years here, we got signs pointing to the bathroom. About half the time I'll mention in my opening statements, you know, restroom's down the wall, beware of the water fountain because it'll take your eye out. And I say, why do you warn people that? Because the water fountain will take your eye out. And down there, and everybody wants to know where the stuff is. We have coffee out there. People expect coffee. And every now and then we'll have, when it gets warmer, we'll have some water bottles. And we'll do those kind of things. That's just what people expect. I don't expect people who don't know anything about God or church or the machinations. I don't expect them to know and to understand. Do you? And it's okay. It's okay to not know because God has revealed himself and he wants to be known. And we can help people to know this woman was ignorant. She didn't know. And this woman really wasn't seeking him. She was indifferent. She was absolutely, positively indifferent. She didn't care. She didn't know. She was empty. She was hopeless. All those kind of things. But she was not looking for the Savior. She was not looking for the Messiah. Now, she's going to get really excited next week when she figures out he is the Messiah. But she wasn't looking for the Messiah. She's indifferent. I suggest to you, in Knox County, statistically, 6 out of 10, 8 out of 10 are fairly indifferent. Very indifferent. James White published The Rise of the Nuns a few years ago. His research, the research that he quotes, says that there are more people now who have absolutely no feelings at all toward Christianity. They're not post-Christian. They're not post-Catholic. They're nothing like that. But they have absolutely no religious affiliation. And when you knock that under 30, you really get somewhere. Have absolutely no religious affiliation. The world that we live in the world that drives by this building up umpteen times a day, and the traffic jams that are caused on Pellissippi Parkway, I'm suggesting that statistically most of those people are indifferent. Some of you have children and grandchildren who care nothing about the things of God, and they really don't have any opinion about it either. They are fairly indifferent, and their lives are racked with guilt and with pain sometimes and with all types of problems, but they don't look at all toward anything spiritual. And here we find this woman. She's indifferent. She's indifferent. So I ask the question today, why do you need to find your one? Isn't that the pastor's job? Nod your head if you're still listening to me this morning. That's a pastor's job. He's supposed to do all this stuff. And then, you know, the pastor's wife's job or the pastor's kid's job or whatever. It's the deacon's job. Why do I need to be involved? Why do I need to get my hands dirty? Why do I need to care if men and women, boys and girls, are right with God? I think it's a fair question, by the way. And I think it's got a fair answer here in the Scripture. Why do I need to do this? Why do I need to do this? I want to offer you just a couple reasons. I'm trying my best not to keep us too long today because I know most of you are operating on a deficiency of sleep because daylight savings time is rude. Say it again. It's rude. It's rude. It's rude. And Dorothy and I had the same problem. We were worried about oversleeping, so we woke up like four times in the middle of the night making sure I wasn't there. And so I'm operating on even less sleep, and somehow I forgot to bring my coffee, and so I'm operating on even less coffee. So I'm about to go back there to Martin's and grab his mug. So you share with me, won't you, Martin? So I won't do that. So let's look. I'm going to give you a couple reasons here. You still with me? I want you to smile because we're going to get in the weeds real quick here. Some of you know me by now. When I have a lot of lead up like this, it's because I got a 2x4 on the other end. Everybody with me? All right, number one. Let me offer it to you. Again, if you're following in your app, this woman was unloved. Why should you find your woman? Why did Jesus come to this woman? Why did Jesus come to this woman? I want to help you. This woman's unloved. Say, unloved, preacher? Yeah, look back. The verses we left off. Jesus says to her, verse 16, go call your husband and come back. Woman answered and said, I have no husband. Now catch it. She's been chatty Cathy. She won't be quiet. She's just running off, and all of a sudden she gets very terse. Why? Because Jesus got right where she lived really fast. I have no husband. She didn't technically lie, but she sure didn't tell the whole truth. Now watch Jesus, who knows everything. Aren't we funny sometimes trying to hide from God? Jesus, who knows everything, who knows our hearts, he knows our intents of our, and look at him, says this woman was unloved, and he says, you've said well. He says, you have five husbands. You've had five husbands, and who you're with now is not your husband, as you said truly. Verse 19, the woman says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Man, she is good at the deflection, right? She's right back at him. I suggest to you this woman was unloved. Say, what do you mean unloved? In that culture, there were two basic schools of thought on divorce, depending on, again, we don't have a lot of insight in how the Samaritans did things. But you could put away your wife. You could divorce your wife. You could divorce your wife for burning the toast, literally. You could divorce your wife just for not combing her hair right. There was an almost criminal way of treating women in this time. These were not biblical ideals. These were just the cultural ideals. And they would do this. And so a woman not only had no social standing by and large, but a woman was also almost considered property. This is one of the things. When the Bible comes in and talks about honoring your wife and honoring your husband, this is so radical. When it talks about loving your wife as yourself, this is so radical. Because in that culture, women were just to be used up and done away with. And the Bible came in and said, there's dignity for women and for children. And there is dignity to be held there, not just patriarchy, but an egalitarian idea that everyone has worth and value. And there is an order system of responsibility. But God loves everyone, and everyone has worth and has value. The church, by the way, has elevated the role of women in society, not the world. The world always cast and put it down. It is the church who's tried to rescue orphans. It is the church who went into India so many years ago when they were slaughtering girls and they were leaving them outside for the animals to ravage. And we set up orphanages and we set up times to rescue. And it is the church who's led the way, by the way, in the sex trafficking industry and the malaise that it has brought on our world here, as they have said, these girls have value and they have worth, and Jesus loves them. This woman is unloved. She has been used up by at least five different men who, for some reason, said, go on. You can suggest she's very attractive. The Scripture doesn't say. You can suggest that she was fun to be around. Again, the Scripture doesn't say. All we know is that the brutality is that at least five times in her life she's been rejected. At least five times in her life she's been rejected. On a human level, I don't know of anything more damaging to a person than for someone else to say, I don't want you. I don't care for you. And I think so little of you, I want you out of my sight. We gloss over five husbands, say, man, she's just not a nice woman. Let me flip it on you. At least five times, somebody said it. By the way, in this culture, majority of the time, the woman could not initiate the divorce proceeding. This is a man-centered thing. The man has done this. This woman's unloved. She's been betrayed. She has been abandoned. She has been tossed to and fro until now. The guy's not even willing to take the chance on her, and they are just together. This woman perhaps has even given up any hope of ever being in a meaningful relationship. Why do we need to find her one? Why did Jesus come? Because this woman was unloved. This woman was unloved. Here's our problem. We look at people and we see their past and we go, man, what a mess they made of their life, and we kind of cluck our tongue. And Jesus looks at people and he says, look at their past. Boy, I can save them from their past and change their ever-present future, and I can change their eternal destination. And I can help with the wounds of the past, and I can give them hope for tomorrow because I love them right where they are and right in their mess. Well, doesn't that excite you this morning? This woman was unloved. By the way, people say, man, if I just had the right person in my life, I would be happy. And if you're in here married and you're saying that, don't say amen. If I just had the right person in my life, I'd be happy. If I just had the right spouse, if I just had the right someone with me today, my daughter's generation says, if I just had the right arm candy, right arm candy. What is arm candy? You know, having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Arm candy. Don't ever bring home arm candy to meet me. You bring home someone of some value, some worth or whatever. And she's like, okay. Some of you in here are a little older than I am, nodding. You know what arm candy is. I didn't know what arm candy was. If I just had the right arm candy, if I just had a baby. How many folks do we know, man? If I just had a baby, I'd be happy. If I just had that meaningful relationship, I'd be happy. Let me help you. Human relationships are not meant to fill the hole that's in your heart that's reserved only for God. Human relationships cannot and will not satisfy, and they will ultimately many times disappoint you. Her whole life screams, please love me. Please love me. There's Focus on the Family. Focus on the Family is a radio ministry, radio broadcast. Years and years, they recently changed leadership. Dame Dobson was for years. He was the founder and chief broadcaster, and he's older now. Jim Daly is the new guy, and doing a good job, and it's great. But every now and then, they will play what is their most requested broadcast. And if you're not acquainted with the ministry, especially with some help with relationship, man, it's just tremendous stuff. At any point, it's one of the top three. Sometimes it's just in the top five. But a Christian school teacher named Frank Shaka toured particularly the Midwest, the northwest part. And he would go from school to school. He was just an interesting fella. He got saved later in life. He would go give his testimony, basically as a don't do what I did kind of thing. Young people just love hearing him. He got a very engaging voice, and I encourage, if you've never heard the whole sermonette, it'd be worth your time to find it. If I think about it this afternoon, I'll link to it on the website and all, and send it out. Shaka says, one thing I've learned about teenagers and young adults, he says, the boys and girls are different, and they all laugh. He said, I know some of you just found that out. He said, here's the deal. He said, girls will play at the physical, they'll play at the sexual. They really want love. He said, that's not always true, but they want love, they want security, they want a relationship. They're uncomfortable typically with one thing, but they'll play it at and they'll feign at that, but they really want the other. He said, fellows are a lot different. He said, they'll play at love. He said, but they really want the physical. What they really want is the sexual. He said, they're just talking right past each other. He said, the guy gets what he wants, and he withdraws the offer of love, And the girl's given up something she didn't want to give up to start with, and she still doesn't have what she wanted. And that is love, that's a relationship, and she is crushed. The other guy's learned if I lie and act like I'm somebody different, I can get what I want. So he's learned how to be a better sinner, and she's learned that nobody ever keeps their promises, and she's emptier and emptier inside. The recording that Focus on the Family plays is about 900 teenagers, and it's a great audio, and you can hear a pin drop in there. This woman's been told over and over and over, I love you. And he didn't love her. And Jesus comes at midday and finds this social outcast and sits down with her because this woman was unloved. He comes and finds this woman not only because she's unloved, because this woman's lost. This woman's lost. Now let me help us in 2019. We use vernacular, we use words sometimes that don't mean anything. When we're watching basketball games and they talk about dropping a dime and breaking ankles, my son and I are translating for my wife. And because she doesn't understand. I say she doesn't understand. She either does that or she does it to annoy us. And she does understand, but we're there. I Riley is playing soccer now, and my wife knows almost nothing about soccer, so I'm in for another round of why can't they be here? Why did they do that? Why is he dragging his foot? Anybody want to go with me to a soccer game so they can talk to my wife? And we're here. And so sometimes when we say words, we don't define them. Sometimes we say things. We say hymns and songs, and what's the difference? So we use this word lost, and it's a great biblical word here. Let me help you. Doesn't mean they don't have direction. Doesn't mean that the woman got lost on the way to the well. It means that they were not a Christ follower. The Bible talks about them being in darkness, 1 Corinthians. The Bible talks about them being lost. The Bible talks about them being away, being children of the devil. The Bible uses all kind of words to describe the fact that if they die right now, they will face an eternal damnation apart from God. They are lost. They are lost. Jesus said, I have come what? I have come to seek and to save the lost. This is his target audience. This is who he was after. This woman is lost. This woman, by the way, she gets hit by Jesus about her situation, her marital situation, her sinful situation. By the way, she's got all kind of other things, and she rebukes back, says, hey, our fathers say that we should worship here, and you say we should worship there. Where is it? She throws off religion here. Warren Wiersbe says it's much more comfortable to discuss religion than it is to face one's sin. Much more comfortable than to face this than to talk about one sin, right? You know, I call this the barbershop and the beauty parlor thing. Somebody starts talking about something that's fairly uncomfortable, they just change the subject, right? Or they just talk about, well, I like this, and I like that, and I like the other. I had somebody was here visiting last fall, and they said, I want to be back to your church. Your church is not my cup of tea. It's too much Bible, not enough music. And I'm like, okay. And he left, and I walked in my office. I'm like, it didn't have anything to do with that. Because what I preached on apparently just got all over me. He wasn't going somewhere where he's going to get nailed like that. And again, I wasn't trying to nail him. I was just trying to be faithful to Scripture here. But it is. It's much more comfortable. It should be these people or this people or that or the other. It's much easier to exchange YouTube crazy videos or to talk about this deal or that deal than it is to talk about our own sin. And Jesus here zeroes in on this woman's sinful past here. He doesn't say that all religions are equal, by the way, and we'll do this more next week. He makes it absolutely clear that there is one God, and they must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I suggest to you we really do this wrong in 2019 when we talk to people. Let me give you a couple of them. Somewhere we've suggested, if you don't believe me, you can just watch any TV program long enough, you'll catch it. You can follow Christ and nothing in your life change. We've somehow suggested that since 2018, 2019. We've somehow suggested in the American church that you can follow Christ and have nothing different in your life. You can have no change of allegiance. You can have no change of behavior. You can have no change of vocabulary. You can follow Christ and nothing change your life. It's all. I don't know where we've gotten that, but we have reduced the gospel down to where it doesn't matter what you do. It only matters what you say. And if you say something, then we are not able to challenge it, and we shouldn't ever bring up sin. And we've just gotten this wrong. Here is Jesus with this woman who is unloved. What's he do? He's mean to her, preacher. He brings up her five failed relationships. Isn't that awful of Jesus to do, right? That's so different than the Jesus we sing about, right? He is love, he is love, he is love. What's he do? He walks up and finds the sore spot on her and goes, we do this so wrong in 2019. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It absolutely matters. It absolutely matters. We shouldn't talk about sin. We shouldn't talk about sin. The largest churches in Australia, founding pastors on TV last week, he gets asked, is this a sin? Is this a sin? They name the subject. And the guy says, I'm glad I'm not the one who has to judge that. And they all... I wanted to have the 3D TV at that moment. Anybody ever wanted to have a 3D TV? Where I could just reach through the TV and shake the guy going, no, the Bible is clear that what they asked you is a right or wrong question. You can say, it doesn't matter to me, but on the authority of the Bible, this is not right. This is a sin. This is an offense to God. And this guy, and he's there, and he's representing all of us, and he says, well, God's the judge. I'm glad I'm not the one who has to make that decision. Make that decision. About 2 years ago, I have to go to a skin doctor and get checked. I got rosacea, that's why my face is red typically. And they have to keep checking my nose, and makes me very susceptible to carcinomas and blah, blah, blah. So I have to go get checked. It's a lot of fun. Because every time I walk in the door, I'm money. I'm money because they're going to find something to burn off, freeze off, scrape off. It's great. I love going. How many of you think the preacher's lying right now? I am absolutely. I hate it. And they're going. They're checking me, and they say, "All right, it's time to take your shirt off and all." And they're looking and checking and all. And they go, "What's this place over here?" I said, "I don't know." And it's behind my arm. They said, "Said this hurt? This tender? Not really." Looked at it. Said you gotta have that taken off. I said, "What is it?" Said, "Well, it's this and that." I said, "Well, go ahead and freeze it." And said, "No, it's really big. It's bigger than a silver dollar." Okay, so what does that mean? So we're going to have to cut it off, and we're going to have to burn it, and then we're going to have to do all this kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I don't have time. I'm just begging. Please don't. Are you sure? Are you sure it's not chocolate? I had chocolate yesterday. Are you sure there's not chocolate back there? And no. And so we can't do it. We got a scheduled appointment. Blah blah. I get in there, and they do the thing, man. And I'm just, man, it hurts. And they're doing this, and they cauterize it, and they send it off for the biopsy, and they come back and say it's this, and we're going to keep checking and all these kind of things. You know how dumb I am? I'm like, it'll probably be okay. I really don't want to go through this. I just won't go to my appointment. Now, understand that my wife knew about the appointment, so I was going there conscious or unconscious. Everybody understand that? I was going to make my appointment one way or the other. I was there. I'm sitting there, and they're working on me, and the only thing I can think is, isn't this how we are with sin? It's not so bad. It's not a big deal. The doctor was plain. We caught it now. This could have been a big deal. Could have gotten in your muscle, all this kind of stuff. And, man, we want to do this, and I'm sure they say that just to keep me on the straight and narrow. And now you see me. If I'm outside, I'm typically wearing longer sleeves. I always wear my hat and stuff like that. They've convinced me that this is important. This is necessary here. And so when we do this, we mess around sometimes. We don't ever get to people's issue. We don't ever talk to them about sin. We only talk about God wanting to make your life better. That's what the woman was interested in. Hey, give me this living water so I don't have to come do this hot, heavy work every day. And this is what the guys on TV say, right? If you come to Jesus, then you'll have money, and he'll fix everything that's going on in your life, and you'll have more cars, and you'll have this. And if y'all pray over this handkerchief, and I'll send it to you. The Bible's got a word for them, charlatans and lovers of money. And that's just not right. God didn't come. He said what? Take up your cross and follow me. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. The call to death is ever present. is a Christian writer right now, and Rachel Hollis, and she's written a book, basically, Be the Best You Can Be. And instead of dying to self, she's talking about all this other stuff. And man, and I hate that because she knows better, but we get this so wrong. This woman was lost. This woman was lost. What does Jesus do? Jesus takes her right to the Ten Commandments. He takes her to the law. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery. Let me give you a timeout. There's a lot of those. There's 613 Old Testament commandments. There's 10 we always talk about. We elevate sometimes sexual sin, but murder's right in there. Hatred, murder, and envy's right in there, and covetous right in there, and dishonoring your parents right in there, and blasphemy against God's right in there, and idolatry's right in there. Everybody understand there? We usually cherry pick the sins we think are really bad, but they're all bad, and they all offend God. He takes her right there and says, you have failed the law. You are an absolute sinner. Say, this shouldn't really matter. Shouldn't really matter. Luke 5, verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. Until you figure out that you have a desperate need that only God can satisfy, you are not interested in what he has to say. In other words, until you figure out you're lost, you have no desire to find a Savior. He went to this woman because she is unloved. Because this woman was lost. This woman was lost. Can I ask you this morning? I'm wrapping up. You still with me? Say amen. Why should we? Why should we care about them? About the family, about friends, about coworkers? Why should we care about other students? Why should we care about the folks that are jerks? Jerkettes. Let me help you. Because they're loved. They're loved. Some of you learned this as a child, others as adults. For God so loved the world, he sent his only one of a kind, the only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved. On the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. John would write of all the things that he's done, and of everything. If everything, there's not enough paper, there's not enough scrolls, paper, scrolls in the world to contain these exploits, the love of God. Here's what we do. We criticize and we judge and we ostracize and we think, man, God really loves me. He doesn't really love them. They don't deserve his grace. Let me give you a big old timeout. You couldn't be any more backwards. You and I don't deserve God's grace. None of us do. But God has shown his grace. His grace of God has appeared to all men. Paul would write, and this grace, this wonderful offer of eternal life and forgiveness for sin is there for us. And we need to remember, man, they are loved. They are loved. I catch myself every now and then. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to speak. I don't want to say something. Especially if people get on your nerves. Anybody in here, if you get on your nerves, you want to give them a wide berth? Anybody besides me? Well, if they just get right with God, it changes their life. And they are loved. We should get involved. We should do that because why? They're loved and they're lost. They're lost. Ask God. We've got the little cards to remind us. I've asked God, how would you help our family of faith, our church family, get back to what it used to be, particularly the founding of our church? We're very, very interested in lost people. Very, very interested in people who run church. We're very, very interested. We cared if the kids weren't. We cared if the kids weren't right with God. We cared if our neighbors weren't right with God. We could hardly wait to get them somewhere, get them to church. God, help us to learn what it is to pray again for family, friends. They're lost. Jesus makes a special trip to find a special lady because she's going to die in her sins unless she has an encounter with the risen, with the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to die for her sins and rise again the third day. They are loved and they are lost. They're loved and they're lost. I asked you last week, who in your life does Jesus want you to find? Who are you praying for? Come to Christ. And I would remind you, have you ever? Have you ever asked Christ to save you from your sins? To change your life? Bowed the knee of your heart and said, Lord, please save me. Change my life. Change my life. Why you need to find your one? Because they're loved. And because they're lost. Because God said, I have come seeking to save those who are lost. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent, to change their life. He wants to change your life and their life. Would you pray with me right now?